Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 11th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global stocks rise as Fed officials preach patience on interest rate hikes.
U.S.-China trade negotiations move forward with another round of talks.
Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn is indicted for a second time.
And oil heads for its biggest weekly gain in 2 years.
Government employees will not get paychecks as the shutdown enters its 21st day. Plus, President Trump's former attorney has agreed to testify before a House panel. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Islanders, the late goal topped the Rangers at the Garden. The Devils lost. The Mets have signed free agent infielder Jed Lowry.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are posting modest gains this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little change. Dow futures up 13, NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany, little change. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. FTSE 100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.5%. 54%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 52 cents to $53.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.60 to $12.92.90 an ounce. The euro $1.15.18, the yen 108.34, and this data check brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, one key word is emerging from Federal Reserve officials, patience.
We're in a place where we can be patient and flexible and wait and see what does evolve. And I think for the meantime, we're waiting and watching.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell preached patience in comments to the Economic Club of Washington yesterday, while Vice Chairman Richard Clarida did the same in remarks that are a little hard to hear, so listen closely.
With inflation muted, I believe that the committee can afford to be patient as we see how the data evolved in 2019.
That patient tone from the Fed now has the dollar trading near its weakest level in 3 months.
We're getting positive signs on U.S.-China trade relations with the next round of talks already on the books.
The Vice Premier Liu He will most likely come and visit us later in the month.
And Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin speaking to reporters late yesterday. Since those remarks, Bloomberg News has learned there's now a date for those talks. The Chinese vice premier meets with Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer January 30th, though details have yet to be made public.
Stocks in China rose on the news, though. It helped Asian equities round out their best week in 2 months. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Friday's price action was driven by optimism of further breakthroughs in the U.S.-China trade tension and views the Fed could move towards a slower tightening path. Japan's Nikkei 225 index rose 1%. The CSI 300 gained 0.7%, while there were gains too in Hong Kong, South Korea and Taiwan. Australian and Indian stocks edged lower, while the rupee appears to have missed the Fed-inspired rally to turn into Asia's worst-performing currency. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Julia, thank you. Meanwhile, China is setting its growth target for 2019 at 6 to 6.5%. That, according to Reuters, the new target shows policymakers in Beijing accounting for an ongoing economic slowdown.
In Japan, former Nissan Motor chairman Carlos Ghosn has been indicted for a second time. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Tokyo.
Despite Carlos Ghosn's pleas of innocence in court Tuesday, Japanese prosecutors are adding to the serious charges against him. Ghosn, fellow ousted Nissan board member Greg Kelly, and Nissan itself have been indicted for breach of trust. Now, Ghosn's legal team says it will apply for bail now that he's been indicted, but prospects for that to be granted are slim at best. Stephen Engel, Bloomberg News, Tokyo.
2019 is looking good for oil bulls, with crude heading for its biggest weekly gain in 2 years. Bloomberg's Alex Longley has more from our London bureau.
It's been a reversal of everything we saw in the final quarter of last year. On the one hand, we've got Saudi Arabia and its allies in OPEC cutting production. That's starting to hit the market. And then on the other hand, trade tensions and the macro picture, that's turned around as well, perhaps just denting some of those bearish views that were saying that we were going to see crude oil demand growth in 2019 of less than 1 million barrels a day. Now you're starting to see people pull back on some of those bearish calls.
Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 56 cents at $53.15 a barrel. Brent is up 0.9% or 56 cents at $62.24.
In the UK, there are just 4 days to go till the vote on Theresa May's Brexit plan, and BBC analysis shows the Prime Minister is on course for the biggest defeat in the history of Parliament. Joey Jones is strategic counsel at Cicero Group and a former spokesperson for Theresa May.
The government strategy would normally be something where you would see the whole of government, every department, contributing to the way forward. And yet, actually, it's being prosecuted very, very narrowly. So you have a situation where it's Downing Street, the Whip's office, and maybe a bit of DexEU as well, and everybody else in the cabinet just watching aghast as they see the Prime Minister and her colleagues heading for a brick wall.
The UK economy continues to lose momentum now, with growth slowing to just 0.3% in the 3 months through November.
Here in the U.S., we've had word of job cuts at BlackRock and State Street, but at J.P. Morgan, there's better news for bankers. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. J.P. Morgan Chase plans to increase annual bonuses at its corporate and investment bank. Sources tell us average percentage increases will be in the mid-single digits, with equity traders and investment bankers probably getting more than that. The division accounts for about a third of the firm's revenue. J.P. Morgan stock traders generated $5.57 billion of revenue last year's 9 months, 22% more than a year ago. Revenue from investment bank increased 2.5%. J.P. Morgan reports fourth quarter earnings on Tuesday. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And we did have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Budweiser brewer AB InBev is considering an initial public offering of its Asian operations, sources tell Bloomberg. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here now to tell us what's going on around the world on this Friday morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. About 800,000 government workers will not receive a check on this payday, as the partial government shutdown has now entered its 21st day. Meanwhile, President Trump told Fox News he is edging closer to declaring a national emergency to fund a border wall.
If we don't make a deal with Congress, most likely I will do that. I would actually say I would. I can't imagine any reason why not, because I'm allowed to do it. The law is 100% on my side.
The president has closed off the only live negotiation on Capitol Hill to resolve the impasse. Lawmakers from both parties are taking an increasingly grim view on how it might be resolved. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on the president.
I don't think he really wants a solution. I think he loves the distraction that this is from his other problems, and that's most unfortunate.
Bloomberg's Bob Moon has more.
I think we're stuck is what Republican Senator Lindsey Graham now tells reporters. He and other moderate Republicans had pitched combining wall funding with other measures favored by Democrats, such as protecting young undocumented immigrants under the Dreamers program. After a meeting with Vice President Mike Pence, they told reporters that idea had hit a snag.
Seems to be there's not much interest in that. So I don't know what else to do.
Graham suggests it's time for the president to use emergency powers, though he concedes the shutdown could stretch on while Trump waits out any court challenge. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen has agreed to testify under oath and in public on Capitol Hill to give an account of his 10 years of working for the president. Cohen will testify February 7th before the House Oversight Committee. An American military official says the U.S.-led military coalition has begun the process of withdrawing troops from Syria. The British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which monitors the conflict in Syria, says the withdrawal began last night. Attitudes about the yellow vest protests in France appear to be shifting. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from Paris.
Public opinion for the yellow vests is declining in France, according to polls, and President Macron's approval rating has started to inch up from lows. But that shift in opinion comes at a risky moment in Macron's presidency. Next week, the French president launches a three-month public debate about ecology, taxes, and democratic representation, part of measures Macron announced in November to calm down the anger expressed by the yellow vests. But the risk is that it may throw up demands Macron can't agree to, which would further divide the president from public opinion. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, no team in baseball has added as many players this offseason as the Mets. The latest import, switching infielder Jed Lowrie, drove in 99 runs last season in Oakland, was an all-star. He signed for 2 years, $20 million. It's not clear what position he'll play. Certainly won't be second base. That belongs now to Robinson Cano. But like Cano and others who joined the Mets this offseason, Lowrie was once a client of new Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen when he worked as an agent at the Garden. Rangers and Islanders looking like overtime, 3-3, late third period.
Around for Boychuk. 95 seconds to go in the period. Cal Clutterbuck down the right side. Cizikas trailing. Clutterbuck to the front. They score! Josh Bailey puts the Islanders ahead on their first and only shot of the third period.
Islanders radio the call. The Josh Bailey game winner. Isles won 4-3. That's the Blue Shirts' fifth straight loss. Same two play tomorrow afternoon in Brooklyn. In Newark, ex-Islander star John Tavares scored the go-ahead goal. Toronto topped the Devils 4-2. NBA in San Antonio's double overtime win over Oklahoma City. 56 points for the Spurs' LaMarcus Aldridge. Speaking of overtime, Hofstra played three OTs, beat William & Mary to go to 14-3 on the season. Monmouth lost in double OT at Quinnipiac, fell to 2-14. Second-ranked Michigan won 79-69 at Illinois. The Wolverines are 16-0. Starting at 4:30 tomorrow, four NFL playoff games in a span of about 27 hours. The playoff field will be halved from 8 to the Final Four. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show to hear from the man in charge of the NFL sponsorship and consumer products business. NFL Network President and CEO Brian Rolapp joins us on Bloomberg Business of Sports tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 5:12 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we assess the new patience from the Fed. Donald Rissmiller of Strategus Research Partners joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Good Friday morning.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. European shares following Asia higher at the end of a week that when sentiment was bolstered by a more dovish tone from the Federal Reserve in hopes for a breakthrough on trade. The dollar slipping, treasuries are climbing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about a point this morning. Dow futures up one and NASDAQ futures down seven. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year treasury up 9/32, yield 2.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 44 cents to $53.03 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.60 to $12.93 an ounce. The euro, $1.1525, and the yen, 108.30. Today, we are looking for a report on consumer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time. And again, sources tell Bloomberg Budweiser brewer AB InBev is considering an initial public offering of its Asian operations as it seeks ways to unlock value. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump closed off the only live negotiation on Capitol Hill to resolve the partial federal government shutdown, now poised to become the longest in U.S. history. About 800,000 federal workers will miss their first paychecks. Vice President Mike Pence rejected a push by Senate Republican moderates to entice Democrats with a deal on DACA to funding a border wall. An American military official told the Associated Press the U.S.-led military coalition has begun the process of withdrawing troops from Syria. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 4-3. The Devils lost. The Capitals beat the Bruins 4-2. In the NBA, the Celtics lost. Hope you didn't take the under in the Spurs-Thunder game. San Antonio beat OKC 154-147 in double overtime. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined on this Friday morning by Donald Rissmiller, Chief Economist at Strategus Research Partners. Good Friday morning, Donald. Thanks for being here. We'd love to get your take on the patient tone we're getting now from Chairman Powell and Vice Chair Clarida. Should we read patience as the Fed signaling a pause?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the Fed has done a lot of work over the past 4 years to get the Fed funds rate up above the inflation rate. So we finally have the inflation adjusted, the real Fed funds rate getting into positive territory. And this took a long time. So we started this in 2015 with one hike. We got through 2016 with one hike. 2017, we got three hikes. Last year, we got four. It's time now to slow down. That's in my opinion. And it looks like that's increasingly in the Fed's opinion. And so I think they can declare victory a bit here, saying they have started to normalize. They've gotten some of the minimum conditions for an interest rate that starts to look more normal in the type of economy we have. But they have inflation and the unemployment rate in a place where they like it, and that means they don't have to move if they don't want to. So a pause makes sense.
But do you see a shift in tone from the Fed here? I mean, last month at the news conference, Chairman Powell seemed to be pretty dismissive of the market's concerns about where monetary policy was going. And now we seem to be hearing a lot more dovishness from Powell.
I see a shift in tone. Now, some of that is there have been more market dynamics since that meeting, but it's stocks and bonds and credit spreads and all these things together that create a financial conditions story that the Fed will take stock of. So it's not strange that the Fed would monitor financial conditions. And as financial conditions have changed, the Fed has started to change a bit. I wouldn't go too far to say they're out of the rate hike cycle. I think they still have an idea that rates should be a bit higher, but it's the rate that the economy can take that's rising here. The rate that makes financial markets comfortable has moved much more slowly. And I think it's getting those two to match over time without creating dislocation. That's the ideal path.
So how many more hikes do you see this year? I mean, or is it too soon to say at this point?
So I think they still want to remain in a rate hike cycle, but maybe that's one hike. And then maybe there's another hike as we get into late this year or early next year. Maybe it's next year. But I don't think they have a lot more than that. It's another one or two hikes as we get that Fed funds rate up towards that 3% type number, that really starts to be enough. And even the Fed's dots and their latest projections, their dot plot, would suggest that if we get those type of numbers, we're in the neighborhood of that magic neutral rate that lets them take a more permanent pause.
So then do you see the balance sheet unwind as more of the weapon in the Fed's arsenal as it continues to tighten monetary policy? I mean, Powell also said yesterday that he wants to see a substantially smaller balance sheet.
Yeah, that word substantially is still to be defined, I think. I mean, the balance sheet has been shrinking, but we're also going to see some action abroad as we add less liquidity from other central banks like the ECB. So I think the idea that this was on autopilot was what started to bother the market, that this was just not going to be considered. So I think the change in tone there is, oh, yeah, we're watching this too. We'll make changes if necessary. But our intent is still to move in the path of normalization.
Talking about actions abroad, the U.S.-China trade talks are going to be heading to Washington at the end of the month. Is this becoming a tailwind now?
Yeah, I'd be optimistic on the trade talks. So we have weaker China data domestically. So China wants a deal. We have a situation in the U.S. where there's been more market volatility. So it looks like the U.S. wants a deal. So we have China wanting a deal. We have the U.S. wanting a deal. So we'll probably get a deal. I think taking the simple answer here is probably the right base case. Will this deal solve all of the problems that are out there? Well, no, but I don't think that's the bar we really want to establish. Are we going to get some progress on the trade gap from the U.S. side? We're going to get some talk on intellectual property. Those are the checkboxes we're looking for, and I think we can do that.
Thanks for all this, Donald. Really appreciate it. Donald Rissmiller, chief economist at Strategus Research Partners, joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak on this Friday morning, where the markets may be taking a bit of a pause. S&P futures down 2 points right now. Dow futures down 5. NASDAQ futures down 8 points. All that little change to the downside. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNB Bank. From Montauk to Manhattan, partnering with business in their financial success with local decision-making, custom solutions, and attention to detail. BNB Bank. Many success stories. One bank. BNBBank.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed to lower this morning, and stocks overseas are mixed as we close out the trading week. The S&P 500 is coming off 5 straight days of gains. Chinese stocks posted their biggest weekly gains in almost 2 months, rising 1.6%.
Yeah, helping boost stocks this week, optimism on trade and dovish comments from Fed officials. China's Vice Premier Liu He will visit Washington at the end of this month for further talks. Sources say he'll meet with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell's voicing caution on pushing ahead with interest rate hikes.
The good thing is we're in a place where we can be patient and flexible and wait and see what does evolve. And I think for the meantime, we're waiting and watching.
That sentiment also being echoed by Vice Chairman Richard Clarida, who says the committee can afford to be patient.
Now, this morning, the Labor Department issues inflation data. Economists forecast the consumer price index dropped 0.1% in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says core CPI, which excludes food and energy, probably continued to increase at a steady pace last month. The sharp drop in gasoline will probably have little impact outside of the top number. November CPI was unchanged, but core prices were up 0.2%, led by housing, medical care, and used cars. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinnie, thank you. Oil heading for its biggest weekly gain in over 2 years amid hopes that OPEC will manage to shrink a glut and U.S.-China trade tensions will ease. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 43 cents at $53.02 a barrel. Brent is up 0.6% or 34 cents at $62.02.
AB InBev is considering an initial public offering of its Asian operations. Sources tell Bloomberg such a deal could raise more than $5 billion for the Budweiser brewer. Shares of AB InBev are up about 5% on the news.
As Wall Street awaits bank earnings next week, word this morning that J.P. Morgan is boosting annual bonuses at its corporate and investment bank. Sources say average percentage increases will be in the mid-single digits, with equities traders and investment bankers probably getting more than that. Right now, futures are little changed to lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures down 11. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury up 9/32nds, yield 2.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.54%. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.50 at $12.93 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to see what else is happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump says that he most likely would declare a national emergency in regards to the U.S. southern border if his administration cannot make a deal with Congress over wall funding. The president, on Hannity on Fox News, says the law is 100% on his side and blames Democrats for the stalemate.
It's not a money thing. It's a political thing. They look at the 2020 race and they're not feeling too good about it. They'll do whatever they can to win.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin said if the president declared a national emergency, Democrats would take him to court.
If any president, this one or any president, decides that they want to just move unilaterally to spend funds and declare a national emergency for whatever they find of interest, it goes way beyond what I consider the clear delegation of authority of the Constitution.
The partial government shutdown has now entered its 21st day, and about 800,000 workers are not getting a paycheck today. The U.S.-led coalition in Syria has begun to withdraw forces from the country in line with President Trump's orders. That's according to an Associated Press report today, citing a spokesman for the Coalition Against the Islamic State. Colonel Sean Ryan declined to give a specific timeline for the withdrawal, citing operational security. The news came after the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the withdrawal began last night with a convoy of about 10 armored vehicles and trucks moving out of Syria and relocating in Iraq. Michael Cohen has agreed to testify before Congress next month. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Cohen, President Trump's former personal attorney, could provide testimony on the inner workings of the Trump business, personal life, and political campaign. He says he wants to further his commitment to cooperate and provide the American people answers. The invitation from Congressman Elijah Cummings' Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. He says he will give a full, credible account of events. Trump reaction?
I'm not worried about it at all, no.
February 7th. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A 13-year-old Wisconsin girl who has been missing since October when her parents were murdered has been found alive. Jamie Kloss was found in Gordon, Wisconsin. A person is in custody. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, another new Met. They've already added Robinson Cano, Edwin Diaz, Jeurys Familia, Wilson Ramos, latest signee, free agent infielder Jed Lowrie, an all-star last season in Oakland when he drove in 99 runs. He signed for 2 years, $20 million. At the Garden, Islanders had only one shot on goal in the third period, and Josh Bailey scored. Beat Henrik Lundqvist with about a minute and a half left. The Isles won 4-3. They've won 7 of the last 8. Rangers have lost 5 in a row. Same two square off again tomorrow. In Brooklyn, Devils lost to Toronto 4-2. College basketball, busy night locally. 11th straight win for Hofstra. Justin Foreman, 37 points and a triple overtime victory. Both Fairleigh Dickinson and Monmouth lost in double OT. A win for Wagner, losses for St. Peter's and LIU. The Australian Open begins Monday. Andy Murray is going to play, but he admits his hip injury still bothering him so much that his plan is to retire after this year's Wimbledon. Murray is 31. Once the number one player in the world. NFL playoffs tomorrow. Red hot Indianapolis having won 10 of 11 in Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes this season threw 50 touchdown passes. The Colts coach, Frank Wright.
He's an electric player. He can create big plays. He can do it out of the pocket, in the pocket. He's got great weapons. It'll be a challenge. It's exciting. You know, as a player, there's something about you that likes playing against the best. And certainly, he's had that kind of year. So I think the guys will look forward to that challenge.
The Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game in 25 years. The Cowboys haven't won a road playoff game in 26 years. Tomorrow night, they visit the Rams in L.A. Two more games on Sunday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is ZTE, the Chinese telecom spared by President Trump. Joshua Brustein wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The United States and the Chinese economies and technology industries are tied together in ways that we don't really understand and that create a lot of vulnerabilities and just interesting wrinkles for the way that this tension is going to play out.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, let's bring in Bloomberg's Ed Khoury for the Friday morning Tri-State Business Report. Ed?
Closing its Madison Avenue flagship store this spring, the apparel maker says it'll begin using a digital-first approach as it reorganizes its North American division, combining operations in sportswear and jeans. The higher-end Calvin Klein business will get a makeover as well. One of Norwalk's biggest employers says it's relocating many of its workers. Alcoholic beverage company Diageo's lease at its North American headquarters is up. About 600 workers will go to one of two new locations next year, one a main office in Lower Manhattan and a second smaller office in Fairfield County, Connecticut. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey will conduct the first test at a U.S. port of an electric vehicle to move cargo containers, with an eye toward eventually replacing the current gas-powered fleet, part of an effort to reduce greenhouse gases at the ports that handle billions of dollars in cargo every year. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. AT&T pledged to stop offering location data to third-party services.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Moody's cutting PG&E's credit to junk status.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a rescue deal led by Virgin Atlantic for regional airline Flybe.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that America's largest farmer-owned cooperative is warning that growers could face another rough year if the U.S.-China trade war continues.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm talking about a report that says Cadillac will become GM's lead electric vehicle brand.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following this morning, get ready for more iPhones. The Wall Street Journal is reporting Apple plans to release three new models this year, including a device that would succeed the newly created XR. The paper says Apple will include a high-end iPhone model in its lineup featuring three cameras on the back, up from the current two, in addition to a pair of less expensive alternatives. And in Tokyo, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn has been indicted a second time over allegations of financial crimes. Ghosn is accused of transferring personal investment losses to Nissan and underreporting his compensation. He's been in jail for almost 2 months. His lawyers say they will apply for bail. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures have given up their gains and are moving lower, with S&P futures down about 5 points, Dow futures down 25, NASDAQ futures down 16. We are seeing some deterioration in Europe as well, with the DAX in Germany down about a third of a percent now. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.70%. The yield on the two-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 43 cents at $53.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.10 at $12.93.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1528. The yen, 108.26. Today we are looking for a report on consumer prices at 8:30 Wall Street time, and Infosys unveiling a $1.2 billion share buyback program. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump says he's most likely to declare a national emergency to fund a border wall. It comes as President Trump closed off the only live negotiation on Capitol Hill to resolve the partial federal government shutdown. About 800,000 workers will miss their first paycheck today. President Trump's former personal lawyer has agreed to testify next month before the House Oversight Committee. Michael Cohen could potentially provide public testimony on the inner workings of President Trump's business, personal life, and political campaign. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Rangers 4-3. The Devils lost. The Capitals beat the Bruins 4-2. In the NBA, the Celtics lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hey, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Joined now on this Friday morning by Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan in our London bureau. As positive signs continue to emerge out of U.S.-China trade talks, Jen, I guess you could say Shuli Ren is taking a bit of a contrarian view here, even with the yuan headed for its best week against the dollar in more than a decade. How's Ren reading this?
Well, she says that the strength of the Chinese currency is largely a reflection of a weakening dollar, and that trend isn't guaranteed to persist. So what should traders make of this? Well, her point is that it's a fool's errand to predict currencies. So if you're a dollar-based investor in yuan assets, what you really ought to think about doing right now is taking advantage of the weaker U.S. currency to put on some hedges, because the cost of doing that has dropped significantly. It now costs less than 0.25% to do this, and that's down from 2.2% a year ago.
At the same time, though, you could argue, couldn't you, that the rally in the yuan is also a reflection of interest in emerging market currencies as well?
Yeah, and that perspective might sort of get you to think that there is a lot more traction in this move, but Ren really cautions on this. I mean, you are, in fact, right. So there is a rally in emerging market currencies, and that is kind of logical given what's happening to the U.S. economy and the Fed's dovish turn. But because of what's happened to the U.S. economy and growth looks to be slowing, you just need to be a little bit more careful.
But if it's hard to see the U.S. economy changing direction anytime soon, why be cautious by taking on currency hedges?
You've got to be a bit more careful because unexpected events can interfere. I mean, you only have to look back to the market reaction once Lehman Brothers collapsed. You might not remember this, but you've got the U.S. on the brink of a financial crisis, and the dollar somehow manages to rally 15% in the space of 2 months. And this is why, in China, the greenback is sometimes referred to as the beautiful gold. And what Ren does is point out that there's a new bombshell that could drop from China this year, which could be its first current account deficit in more than two decades. And that would really wind up being a huge deal for the rest of the world. So she says, given that it's cheaper to take risk off the table in this uncertain environment, investors really should think about taking advantage.
And let's just check offshore yuan real quick. It's strengthening by about 0.75% against the dollar at 6.7433 per dollar. Let's move on to some optimistic signs from 5G or about 5G that Xiaomi CEO Lei Jun made to Bloomberg News late yesterday. Tim Culpin is taking a look at that.
Yeah, he is. The comments were short but sweet. So the CEO said that he expects the advent of next generation wireless to energize demand for its smartphones. And once these 5G phones start to get popular, the overall demand from China will recover.
So what's Culpin make of that?
He says this is a whole lot of wishful thinking. I mean, he sees that there's a lot of hype around 5G and across the technology hardware industry. You can understand it because they are otherwise kind of bereft of ideas. And there's a lot of application here to the broader 5G industry. So, of course, it's, you know, it's a statement of the obvious to say that there's going to be some energized demand because that's what happened when you have a next generation of mobile networking technology. There's faster connections, and then people want to take advantage. The trick here, though, is that the step from 4G to 5G is going to be a lot less dramatic than from 3G to 4G. Secondly, it's going to be another year or so until the networks are truly ready.
And not just the jump from 4G to 5G, but Culpin's also making the point that Xiaomi as a company is too much like Facebook and not enough like Apple.
Yeah, and this is, again, the way in which it's positioning its dependency on what its smartphone sales will do for it. I mean, there's a hope there that it'll help the company climb out of a post-IPO slump. And, you know, that's seen shares fall more than 40%. But there's a lot riding on its internet business, and it's built around selling its branded smartphones. And the idea is supposed to be that once these devices are in users' hands, it can try to sell ads and other services. And that's the way in which it's more like Facebook, and it relies on a whole daisy chain of factors falling into line. But if it fails to keep its place in users' hands, then the whole internet business model falls apart. So that means that the 5G-led smartphone boom, while it's crucial, could also be a matter of wishful thinking.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from London. Thanks as always, Jen. Appreciate it. You can read more about these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers type in OPIN Go on the terminal. Karen?
Well, Nathan, it's 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A third case has been filed by federal employees in the partial government shutdown. Five workers claim threats of discipline if they didn't work without pay amounts to involuntary servitude. The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is challenging three state laws that prevent the governor from expanding the state's Medicaid program. And the U.S. Postal Service faces nearly $150,000 in fines after the heat-related death of a mail carrier in Southern California. This comes as lawmakers consider legislation to require postal delivery vehicles to have air conditioning.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thanks, Steve. Now, another legal news. As the U.S. and China prepare for their next round of talks on trade, Washington is pushing forward on a key front of the conflict, a criminal prosecution of alleged trade secret theft that has hobbled China's aspirations to mass-produce memory chips. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School.
Prosecutors are also using some novel tactics in this latest fight. Let's start with the new rule on serving indictments to foreign companies. What's that, and is it working?
What happened is, back in 2016, Rule 4 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure was amended so that as long as the defendant is given notice of the charges, and it can be done in different ways, one way in which it can be done is submitting a request under an international agreement. China has signed many of these international agreements. So as long as you notify the defendant, that now is sufficient. So you don't necessarily have to get the company or the person into the United States, but as long as you give them notice, the case can move forward. That makes life much easier for prosecutors. You don't have to go out and try to search people down or hope that somehow they come to the United States or to a company, country, that would arrest them or give them notice. So it certainly has made life easier for prosecutors in these types of cases, especially targeting Chinese companies, because many of them do not have a presence in the United States, so now this is a way to notify them if the government is going to bring criminal charges.
Prosecutors are also testing out a provision of the Economic Espionage Act that dates back more than two decades.
That's right, that there is a provision of the Economic Espionage Act, which really focuses on theft of trade secrets. But there's a provision in there that allows the Justice Department to obtain what's called, quote, appropriate injunctive relief for any violation. And so what they're doing in a case out in San Francisco, they've not only indicted a Chinese and a Taiwanese company and three individual defendants, but they've also filed for this injunctive action to prevent the companies from developing these DRAM chips, dynamic random access memory chips, and also exporting them and trying to take that technology back. So usually you don't see the government filing a parallel civil action.
And that's Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. We are watching the pound jump against the dollar, up 0.6% at $1.2822. The Evening Standard reporting that Brexit will be delayed beyond March 29th. It's citing cabinet ministers. We'll have more on that straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg Radio.